everyone. Welcome to Change Starts Here Research Conversations. I am Jennifer Chevalier, and I am joined by my friend and colleague, Kim Yarris. Our topic today is student self-efficacy. Are you ready to kick it off, Kim?
I am. As I was thinking about this topic, I found myself thinking back to my days as a student, thinking about my experiences, particularly with getting a bad grade. And I remember when this happened, it used to be very devastating, but man, was it motivating. When it happened, I would dig my heels in, double down, and, you know, focus and say, that is not happening again.
I think there are definitely different types of reactions. There are those who feel motivated by a bad grade, but I've also experienced some people who actually shut down when they get a bad grade. I have someone in mind who fell into this camp. If he got a bad grade, he would immediately stop trying and just fail the course. And his thinking was that if he could say that he didn't try, then he wouldn't look like he lacked intelligence. However, internally, he did feel dumb, his words, not mine. It took a real toll on his self-esteem.
That sounds really familiar. Throughout my career as an educator and also as the parent of two sons, I have seen so many different ways that students respond to getting a bad grade. Some of those responses have been like mine, but I feel like more are like what you just described. And, you know, what's interesting is that how students react to challenges like this can have a really profound effect on their success and their overall experience in school. So at the heart of this is something that is called self-efficacy. So for the sake of making sure that we are all on the same page, Jennifer, could you explain what we mean when we say student self-efficacy?
Sure. So the self-efficacy guru is definitely Albert Bandura. His general definition wasn't applied directly to students, but it's that self-efficacy refers to people's beliefs in their own capacity to do things or perform behaviors that will produce the specific desired outcomes. So when we consider that definition and apply it to student learning, student self-efficacy is really a student's belief that he or she either has or can develop the knowledge and skills needed to successfully learn and complete the academic tasks. If you'll allow me to boil it down even more, Kim, essentially, if students believe they can, they will. But if they believe they can't, they won't.
Yeah, that I love that saying. I always had that hanging on my bulletin board next to me. And you saying that is reminding me of my time working as a literacy coach in a kindergarten classroom. I had this experience where the teacher had just taught this really great writing lesson and sent the students off to do some writing on their own. And we were both circulating the classroom, having conferences with students. And I pulled up alongside this little boy who was sitting in front of a blank piece of paper. He wasn't holding his pencil. He was just sitting there doing nothing. So I started by asking him what was going on. And he told me that he couldn't do what his teacher had asked him to do. And so I suggested that I could help him with this. And this is the part that really stood out. And he said, no, not you. And he points to his teacher and says, it has to be her. So not only did this student not believe in his own ability to write, he believed that in order to be able to write, he needed his teacher to be sitting right next to him.
Wow, Kim, that's wild, but a great illustration of a lack of self-efficacy. Mm-hmm. I still remember a student I had who was incredibly smart and creative. Her writing, artwork, her creative thinking skills, they were at the highest levels. But her creative brain just didn't naturally make sense of more linear thinking skills, like those that often come up in mathematical concepts. So At first, she lacked self-efficacy around math. But when I demonstrated to her that math is a critical component to art, she developed a tremendous self-efficacy for math. When she would wrestle with a math process, she would take it upon herself to find out how that concept was used in art, whether in architecture or drawing or like mixing paint colors. I remember her doing that with fractions or whatever it might be. And once she could see that the concept connected to art, she would immediately be convinced that she could learn the math concept since she knew she was good at art. She ended up in college majoring in architecture and then minored in computational geometry, which is amazing.
That is an incredible turnaround story, isn't it? Wow. You know, so whereas my story speaks to what a lack of self-efficacy looks like, yours illustrates how self-efficacy can be built and the impact that building it can have on a student's life. I mean, whoa. So no doubt, self-efficacy really, really matters. So let's talk about why.
All right. Well, I think the two examples we just discussed, the kindergartner who wouldn't write and the girl who struggled with math, really highlight the core reason why student self-efficacy is so important. It just ties back to what I mentioned earlier. If students believe they can, they will. And if they believe they can't, they won't. This isn't just an idea. It's supported by research. Studies show that our self-perceptions, what we think we're capable of, directly influence our motivation, the goals that we set, the effort we're willing to put into achieving those goals. So in other words, how students see themselves matters deeply because it shapes what they believe is possible for them to achieve.
So loosely connected to what you're saying is a study that Carol Dweck discusses in her book, Mindset. So what happened, the researchers gathered students of equal ability, and then they gave them a math test. And after the test, one group was told, you did well, you're smart. And the other group was told, you did well, you worked hard. And the results were fascinating, like mind-blowing for me. So the group that was praised for being smart wanted to stick with tests that they were more likely to do well on, even if they didn't learn anything new. But they were also more likely to lie about their scores, even though they had done well.
Wow.
Whereas the students who were told that they worked hard, they wanted to take more challenging tests where they could learn. And they weren't afraid if they didn't do that well. And they were actually more likely to take home extra practice problems. So are you thinking something you wanted to say?
No, but it's just so amazing, the power of those words and the beliefs that got internalized from them.
I know. To add to that, it's really getting at why self-efficacy matters. It doesn't just shape what students believe they can achieve. It also builds a resilience to failure. When students see themselves as capable, they're more likely to attribute their setbacks to insufficient effort rather than low ability. And that perspective makes a huge difference in their willingness to persist through challenges and their willingness to take risks, which in turn impacts their achievement in the long run.
Kim, that's really actually profound. I mean, so it's easy to identify someone's or even our own level of efficacy based on how we reflect on failure, either lack of effort or lack of ability. I'm just realizing that I'm highly efficacious in some areas, but not in other areas. Mm. Or wait, even based on a season of life, I'm thinking about the first time, actually two times, that I took statistics. It happened during undergrad, and I had to repeat statistics because I failed the first time. And honestly, I got a D the second time, but only because I tried really hard and the professor felt sorry for me. Not because I improved at all. But when I think about it, I was convinced going into the course that statistics was just impossible and I wasn't going to be smart enough to cut it. And my grades definitely demonstrated that belief to the fullest. But now let's fast forward 20 years when I'm in grad school. And at that point in my life, I had really achieved many hard things, things that I wasn't sure I could accomplish, but I did. So when I went into the statistics course this next round, I was convinced that I could learn it because I had demonstrated to myself over the years that I could learn practically anything. I ended up getting a 98 in statistics in grad school. Same person, same brain, but totally different levels of self-efficacy.
Oh my gosh. I love that story. That is, I mean, so many people need to hear that story, first of all. And I too need to hear it because I can relate to it. I have a story too about statistics. When I was younger, I had a really strong math identity. But for whatever reason, statistics was completely threw me. And so when I was in grad school, I didn't do as well in that class as compared to others. And honestly, it was one of the reasons that I decided not to pursue a doctorate all those years ago. I wanted to, but I'm like, I don't know if I can do the statistics. But I was much younger then too. And I think that part of the reason was, you know, my confidence in myself and my ability to be able to do hard things. But that said, what's fascinating is that there's this connection between low self-efficacy and career choice, which is well documented in the research on self-efficacy.
That's such a great point, Kim. Research shows that when people have high levels of self-efficacy, it really impacts their career trajectories in four main ways. First, they're more likely to seriously consider a wider range of career options. Second, they show greater interest in exploring these pathways, so they're more passionate and excited about them. The third thing is they prepare themselves better educationally for the careers that they choose. And the fourth thing is that they tend to achieve greater success in their careers. So when we put all those together and think about these long-term implications, it's clear why fostering self-efficacy in students is so crucial. It doesn't just impact their learning, it shapes their futures. And honestly, it goes even further. People with high self-efficacy are often better equipped to thrive during times of change. I'm sure you can picture people as I'm saying this, but for some people, change is an exciting opportunity for growth and challenge. But on the flip side, people with low self-efficacy often see change as a threat because they doubt their ability to succeed in new or unfamiliar situations.
I know exactly what you're talking about. So my struggles with statistics definitely shaped the way how I saw my career options were at the time. And what you're saying about the long-term impact of self-efficacy really drives home how critical it is for us to help students develop it. Fortunately, what we know is that there are ways to build self-efficacy. And it boils down to four key factors: success, encouragement, modeling, and managing stress and anxiety. So let's start with success, Jen. What are some ways educators can help build student self-efficacy by focusing on success?
First, let's celebrate the fact that self-efficacy can be developed, right? So if you or your family member or your student lacks self-efficacy, there is absolutely hope. Self-efficacy can be built as a person's self-confidence builds. And I think we've kind of highlighted that in our conversation so far. So from a student self-efficacy lens, a great place to start is to provide experiences through which students can be successful. Us educators commonly refer to these as mastery experiences. As students experience improved performance, their self-efficacy increases. Students learn that their effort is tied to their performance. And so we need to provide activities that students can accomplish with a reasonable amount of effort. It's important that we get the difficulty of the task just right, not too easy, or else the student will feel the low expectations we are placing on them, but also not too hard. The outcome must be achievable. We want the students to have that optimal level of challenge, some productive struggle. We want them to face some difficulty. We need to break tasks into smaller steps, allow sufficient time to complete each task, and then scaffold the learning so students can successfully grow and achieve. This is where I think goal setting can play such a critical role in building self-efficacy. Have students set the overarching goal and then smaller tasks that can be used to track progress toward the goal. As students own this process and are able to illustrate or explain how they are moving toward the goal, the impact of their effort is revealed. Their self-efficacy just will grow. One more thing to note, that the just right task, the one that has the optimal level of challenge, will vary by student, right? Since students are all at different starting places, so this is not a one-size-fits-all situation. It's the process that's applicable to every student. But the goal and the tasks need to be individualized. All right, Kim, so I just shared a lot about the importance of mastery experiences and tracking progress toward goals. How do you see the idea of encouragement connecting to self-efficacy?
Well, it plays a really huge role, in fact. And it's all about offering encouragement that focuses on effort and strategies rather than innate ability, sort of going back to that Carol Dweck study that I talked about before. So, for example, when students succeed, instead of saying something like, "Oh, you're so smart," which I said many a time throughout my career, we can say, "Wow, you worked really hard on that," or "Your strategy really paid off." So really focusing on that effort helps to kind of hardwire that's the thing that's making the difference. On the flip side, when things don't go well for a student, encouragement means helping them reflect and consider new approaches. Like, so you can ask, "What's something different you could try next time?" This helps them shift the focus from failure as a reflection of their abilities to failure as a stepping stone for learning. So by framing success as the result of effort and persistence, we're essentially helping students rewire their brains to associate achievement with what they do rather than with who they are. And I think that connection is critical for building long-term self-efficacy.
Absolutely. Emphasizing effort and building confidence are important to developing self-efficacy. And another way to help them is by seeing their peers succeed, if it's framed properly. And a lot of times, especially for younger kids, adults need to help with that framing. So watching others succeed can totally inspire the belief in students' own abilities, as long as they don't fall into the comparison trap. All right, example and true story. A child I know named Brady, just this past weekend, set the world record for planking for children under age 10. Just to be sure, everyone knows what planking is. It's where you essentially turn your body into a board or a plank by stretching out, essentially like you're laying face down on the ground, but holding yourself off the ground on your toes and your elbows. The rest of the body's up in the air. All right, so Kim, how long do you think this young man was able to plank to set the new world record?
I don't know. It was a record, maybe 8 or 10 minutes. I mean, like, I can barely hold a plank for a minute. So that seems like it would be a long time to me.
I was laughing at your 1 minute because I think I'm in the same boat. Not that I was making fun of you. I'd be lucky to make it a minute. All right. Well, would you believe that he actually planked for an hour and 42 minutes?
Oh my goodness.
Isn't that amazing?
It's crazy.
My first thought when he did it was just like, I could never do that. I'm not even going to try. And honestly, I might not even try. But then I started thinking about how powerful it could be to reframe the feelings I was having. I was still happy for him, but I was thinking, if I practiced, maybe I could do it too. I'm sure he didn't just one day go, oh, I bet I could do this for an hour and 42 minutes. I'm sure he had to build up to it. So, and then I started thinking, well, if a child could do it, then I should be able to do it too, right? Or even if planking isn't a personal goal of mine, maybe Brady's success can inspire me to achieve something that is a personal goal for me. He achieved his goal, so I could achieve mine too. Imagine if we taught students to see someone else's success not as that comparison, but as proof that it's possible for them too. That's where group activities can be so impactful. When students work together and celebrate that collective success, it creates an environment of mutual encouragement. And when we as educators give them opportunities to reflect on their individual progress and strengths, they start to see their own growth and capability.
That's such a good point. But we also need to address one of the biggest barriers to self-efficacy, the fear of failure, which maybe that's what I have when it comes to planking. Failure can be a huge source of anxiety for students, but the reality is that failure is a natural part of learning. If we can normalize failure and teach students to see it as a tool for growth instead of a measure of their self-worth, we can really help them build resilience. So, for example, when a student struggles with a task, we could say, instead of saying, it's okay, maybe it's not your thing, we can say, what's one thing you learned from trying this? Or what's a different strategy you could use next time? This shifts the focus away from the outcome and onto the process. Teachers can also share their own stories of learning through failure to model how it's okay to make mistakes and keep going. It's about creating a classroom culture where effort and growth are celebrated over perfection.
I love that. Focusing on the effort and growth really changes the narrative around failure. And it ties back to everything we've talked about today. When students believe they can grow and improve their self-efficacy, it strengthens, and that belief carries over into so many areas of their lives. When we help everyone to celebrate the successes of others and use other people's success to motivate us, we all win. So this, of course, ties back to our podcast season's theme of systemic synergy. If district-wide, every staff member, every student, every family and community member can help students develop self-efficacy, then students will be unstoppable. This brings me back to arguably the best leadership quote. It's by Dr. Stephen Covey. Mm-hmm. And he said, leadership is communicating people's worth and potential so clearly that they are inspired to see it in themselves. Part of that worth and potential that Dr. Covey references is self-efficacy.
Exactly. Huh. Gosh, I wish we had more time to keep diving into this, but we'll have to pick it up in our next conversation when we talk about efficacy's close cousin, student agency. So it's such an important topic, and we are super excited to be able to explore it with you.
Me too. So be sure to join us for our next episode, and don't forget to like and subscribe to Change Starts Here so that you know when that episode drops. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.